This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
As we continue to slowly slide into the NFL offseason, plenty of juicy headlines. I didn't think Shedeur Sanders choosing the number 12 today was going to have the legs that it had, but lo and behold, we got some comment from the Shedeur camp that they feel disrespected by DeAndre Carter being allowed to take the number 2 and then Shedeur having to settle for the number 12. To talk all things Browns, including this nonsense, we welcome on one of our favorite guests every single Tuesday, 5:20, the great Albert Breer, joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, sorry, buddy, I hit the wrong button there. Albert, welcome to the show, bud.
How's the experience going for you guys so far, the Shedeur experience?
Well, it was going fine until today.
It's definitely an experience, Albert.
Yeah, I mean, I was on with Eisen earlier today, and I said to him, I've never been asked on television or radio or anything else before about a fifth-round picks jersey number, but here we are. So it's an interesting place to be for sure.
So it seems like, judging by the tweet of one of Shedeur's subordinates, that it seems like they feel like it feels like this was an intentional move by the Browns. Is that where we're at right now, a week into Shedeur being a Cleveland Brown?
I don't think it was intentional by the Browns. I don't know. I mean, I generally, wouldn't you say that veterans have dibs on numbers before rookies do, right? Like, that's not unusual. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think that this is that strange a move. Like, the Browns would probably, if, you know, DeAndre Carter asked for number 2 and it's available, why wouldn't they just give it to him? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, I tend to look at these things through a little bit of a different lens where it's like in my mind, at least, it's veteran versus rookie. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, in a lot of cases, I think rookies start with numbers that they don't wind up having, and I can't believe I'm breaking this down right now. But, like, I would think that it's something you earn, and then, you know, if DeAndre Carter doesn't make the team or Shedeur Sanders earns his way, you know, maybe they have that discussion later on and there's some sort of switch. I had a feeling something, you know, you just kind of had in the back of your head, like, I mean, those single digits are popular now that everybody's allowed to wear them. You know, for a long time, it was only quarterbacks that could wear them, quarterbacks and kickers, right? But once they relaxed the rules a few years ago, I mean, you'll see it with every team. Like, it's just like with a high school team or a college team, you know what I mean? The single digits are hard to get, and they're popular. And so, generally, I mean, I don't know, you go across the league, and you can tell me how many rookies are wearing them. It's probably not that many, you know? So, I don't know. Like, if I'm one of Shedeur Sanders' advisors, I'm telling him we are not making an issue of this. And you would hope he wouldn't need to be told. And in his defense, like, he's not the one making the stink here, right? Like, he hasn't really said anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's the guy that is within his camp, the one that has taken all those videos of him running the hills in Akron, has been with him, basically flanked every stretch of the way that he's been in Cleveland. When he tweets out and says there's no way the Browns should have gave number two to anyone else, especially to a wide receiver who haven't worn number two before in his career, I do think it does raise some flags. Like, you know, if Stefanski's in charge of giving out the numbers, and that's how I know it to be, well, it does feel like the Browns are almost reminding Shador of being taken in the fifth round, when Shador's built so much marketing-wise around S2 and everything else associated with being number two.
Right, but I mean, like, if you're going to afford that, like, that power to your fifth-round pick, don't you have to, like afford that power to the rest of your rookie class?
I guess it would just take some logical reasoning to assume that Shador Sanders is not treated like everyone else, though, because he isn't like everyone else. He just isn't.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm kind of old school when it comes to this stuff. I mean, I witnessed what Belichick did here in New England, you know, where you guys remember this? Like, he didn't issue rookies numbers until they had to give him, like, real numbers before the first preseason game. And so all those guys were wearing numbers in the 50s and 60s, and there was no choice. It was just basically based on your draft position. So if I remember right, it was like the first-round pick would be number 50 every year. So you guys can Google it. You can see pictures of, like, Mac Jones wearing number 50, right? Like, the second-round pick would be 51, 52, 52, like, and on down. And, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, like, this isn't something that would be unusual for a football coach to – want to, like, intentionally put a player in his place. That happens and has always happened in the sport. But I don't know that this would be anything more than just seniority. You know what I mean? Like, again, where you have a veteran player if he asks for a number. I think the Browns put out an interesting video of, I think it was Mason Graham picking his number, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Right?
Yeah.
And Mason Graham,
yeah,
like, asked about 55 and it wasn't available. And so, like, that was sort of that. There was no argument. Like, it was just kind of moved on to the next thing.
That one made more sense, though, because Ethan Posick has been here for 3-4 years. You know what I mean? He's an actual veteran of the team.
Sure,
They just got DeAndre Carter, and he's never worn number two before.
Yeah. I mean, do you think they should give it to Shador then?
I thought he should have gotten it, yeah. I think it shouldn't have even been a question to me, Albert.
But why?
Because it was his number in college. He's built a lot of branding attached to it as well. And you know what? It matters to him. You know, it's a weird thing to try to explain, but, like, these athletes care about the numbers, and there's a lot attached to that.
I mean, shoot, like, I mean, I care about my number when I was a kid, too. You know what I mean? I think we all did. But, like, there's also I don't know. I mean, I think, like, you're opening a can of worms when you do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just there's got to be, like, a rank and file and an order to something, don't you think?
Yeah, I just feel like you're starting the relationship on an awkward foot.
Is Dylan Gabriel wearing his college number?
No. No, he's not. He did
he's
get a
wearing
number
8 in number college, right?
Cool.
Huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right, yeah.
Or 12, not cool. 12's pretty cool, right? Like, that's the greatest quarterback of all time, or 12. It's a great quarterback number, isn't it?
Bernie Kosar's not the number 12.
I will say this, Nick. Like, that's one of my favorite things is, like, when I moved to Ohio in 1998, I learned that there is no city in America that overrates any athlete quite to the same level that Cleveland overrates Bernie Kosar. The way my friends talked about Bernie Kosar, you would have thought he was Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas, and Joe Namath all wrapped into one.
Spot the lie, Albert.
This feels very personal. I will have you know, Albert, that Bernie was my neighbor in Manaway for 2 years when we moved back to Ohio, and him coming to my yard sale and buying two hats from my then 9-year-old daughters.
Gave him $20 and asked for no money back, Albert.
My dad, they were $1 hats. He spent $20 on them. My dad, from the great beyond, I felt my dad through the ether being like, "You've done good, son, because of this." I just want to put the stakes in proper place for your Kosar slander there.
But I think, I'm serious when I say this. Like, every city has athletes that overrate just because, like, the city I this exists everywhere, right? Like, that every city has, like, there's, like, a few athletes that for one reason or another the city just identifies with them. It's obvious with Bernie because he's from there and everything else, you know. So, like, I think every city has those guys that they just hold in higher regard than maybe those guys are as players, or those guys are seen otherwise. But I thought the Bernie thing was pretty crazy. I was also there just for context, and I think this will make it make more sense. Like my freshman year, when I was digesting all of this, was actually the last year there was no Cleveland Browns. So like I think that was probably sort of the height of like the romantic romanticizing of Bernie Kosar.
All right. So since you are you're from the Boston area, that's where you're native to.
Since you are a hater, but all right.
Well, no. Now I want to hear what athlete is most overrated by Bostonians,
and why is it Jason Tatum?
It's not Tatum. That's not. I would say. Okay, that's a good question. I think Teddy Bruschi, and I love Teddy. Teddy has a little bit of that, right? Like Teddy Bruschi is a cult hero up here. And, like, I think there's definitely a little bit of that with Teddy Bruschi. Who else? Who would be in that category? I mean,
Paul Pierce.
Just, of the Red Sox guys? Like, well, that was – you know who it was? It was Nomar.
I was thinking Nomar. I was going through the list. I was thinking Nomar.
I mean, during that same time period, when I was in college there in Ohio, like, I mean, I think people thought I was crazy the way I talked about Nomar. And I thought Nomar was going to the Hall of Fame for sure. And I thought no one in any other city knew how to talk about him. So like Nomar would be up there for me. I think as far as like the guys that would be like probably overrated while they were playing, that's worn off a little because they won right after they traded him. So like that kind of like killed his legend a little bit. You know, when I was a kid, do you guys remember Mike Greenwell? He would probably be that would be in that category. Like that, like where, like, I mean, you know, like the way people around here talked about him was like he was a Mickey Mantle and he wasn't close to that, you know? So, I mean, there are a few names like that. I mean, Boston has a bunch of them too. So I'm not saying like where I'm from is exempt from that either. Those definitely exist. I mean, you know, all the little white slot receivers for sure. Like they voted like the the Patriot Hall of Fame. Like they do the fan, there's a panel that picks finalists, and they and then they vote that the fans vote them in. Do you guys know that this week Julian Edelman got voted in over Adam Vinatieri, which is just to me like the craziest thing, because Vinatieri is like the guy who, I mean, he's so iconic. You know what I mean? Like, and they voted Edelman in, so I think that's an example of it too.
Especially when there's 37 people in that Hall of Fame. Like, how many people can it be in a Hall of Fame, Albert?
I know. I think team Hall of Fames are kind of stupid anyway, but don't tell any of the owners I said that.
Okay. RG3 on his podcast said he thought that Shedeur Sanders was being set up to fail. I tried making the argument that I feel like basically any quarterback the Browns are going to throw out this year probably aren't set up to succeed. But do you see it that way, or is it the type of situation like Jaden Daniels had in Washington where if you're going to be great, go be great, and it doesn't matter anyway?
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great opportunity. Like, honestly, like, I don't have any reason not to like Shedeur. Like, I really think this is a great opportunity for him for him to prove everybody wrong and for him to kind of like take this the right way and use it as motivation. And, you know, I think there's an awesome opportunity there, you know, and then he's going to have to earn it the hard way. And this is the first time he hasn't been coached by his dad, right? Like, and when he came to Jackson State, when he came to Colorado, I mean, he was more or less like annoying as a starter when he went there. So, like, now, like, he's got to fight, not for the starting job. He's going to have to fight for practice reps right now, you know, and fight for more opportunities and create more opportunities for him to prove himself when he gets to training camp, compete for a spot on the roster, and then compete to move up in the roster. And, you know, who knows? Maybe that brings out the best, you know? Like, it'll be interesting to see. Because that was one of the big criticisms of him, like, coming out. Like, if you talk to scouts and coaches about, like, where he was coming out, like, there was a lot of that, which is, like, he's never been coached by anybody but his dad. I remember talking to one coach who was, like, if you watch, like, you see it on tape, like, after a series, like, you know, when he's coming off the field, he goes and talks to his dad. He doesn't talk to the offensive coordinator. Well, you know, now he's going to have to go into a situation where he's going to have to fend for himself, and he's going to have to earn every single thing that he gets, you know? And so, you know, you never know. Like, that could wind up bringing out the very best in him. And I would certainly hope so, because I think there's something there. Like, now, do I think he's like a Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes? Like, that type? No, he's not that type of talent, you know? But I think there's a guy who can be a good NFL quarterback in there. And, you know, maybe this brings that out, and we'll see.
Albert, we're dealing with it tonight. Game two for the Cavs and Pacers. Game one for Celtics last night. A tough loss. There was a big lead that was blown in that game. Where's your confidence in the Celtics-Knicks series?
I mean, I think they're going to win the series. I don't know. Like, I look at it like, I mean, you're not going to miss 45 threes again. That was insane. And I don't know. Like, the way the NBA is played, like, I mean, we could have a bigger discussion about, like, the nerds taking over basketball now, and everybody just launching threes and everything else. And it's like, it drives me nuts when I see it, because clearly, like, last night, you know, they get way up and they had missed a lot of threes as they were up by 20. And it's like, they just keep launching them. It's like, you're not playing situations at all. You know what I mean? Like, you're not playing this game, like, for what it is. And then you see, like, the way they botch the possessions, you know, both, like, at the end of regulation, the end of overtime. I just think a lot of things had to go wrong for them to lose that game. So, I mean, Jalen Brunson's a nice player, you know, and played great, like, you know, when it mattered most last night. The Knicks are a fun team, but I don't think they're in the class of the Celtics. Do you guys?
It was such a diminishing way. Jalen Brunson's a fun player. That's a nice team.
You know who he reminds
that felt
me
personal.
Of?
You're not wrong.
You know who he reminds me of? Like Isaiah Thomas, not the Isaiah Thomas from the Pistons. Isaiah Thomas,
the lesser Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah,
when Cav and Boston Isaiah Thomas.
No, but when Isaiah Thomas was on the Celtics, like, and I remember you guys had him with the Cavs too, right? Like, he could be electric. Like, he was a fun player to watch. And, like, man, like, you know, like, there were times when he could just take over games. But, like, in the end, were you going to win a championship with him as your best player? Like, probably not. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean this, like, I like Isaiah Thomas as a player. Like, I sort of think that's who Jalen Brunson is. Am I crazy to say that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Isaiah really only had offense on his game.
Yeah.
Jalen at least can feign some defense.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think there's some similarities between the two. That's all. But, yeah, I mean, the last shot of regulation just drove me nuts. It was like, you know, Jason Tatum is built like a Mack truck. And just so, like, to fire up that three when you just, it's time to just run through somebody. I don't know. It drove me nuts.
Albert, great stuff today, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy. We'll pick up in a week and see where both our teams are and see whether we're commiserating or getting ready on the auspices of a Cleveland-Boston tune-up. We'll see where we are.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. Albert Breer there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say in 5 minutes here. They know that deleting it makes it worse, right?
Yeah, well, it doesn't take it away, I'll tell you that. And if anything, it draws more attention to it.
Like when you think someone deletes something, what do you instantly think when you see someone that puts out
somebody got to him.
Somebody said shut that down, John Taffer style. You can't be doing this right now, and you're making us look like a jerk.
So I think Albert attacked this from probably where you and I are, as opposed to like RG3 singling out Shador is somehow a victim of this. No, he's no different than Gardner Minshew was set up to fail in Vegas last year. If Gardner Minshew could have elevated the players around him and he could have won with what they had in Vegas, he would have, and he wouldn't have been cut by the Raiders earlier this offseason. Like this kind of situation where it's anybody's guess who's going to win the quarterback job, and it's every man for himself, and the job you walk into isn't the easiest job.
Right.
That's actually super commonplace in the NFL, whether you're a fifth-round pick, a third-round pick, former first-rounder like Kenny Pickett, or a longtime NFL vet like Joe Flacco.
Yeah, most jobs, you're getting them because you're set up to be DOA. You're set up to go ahead and not have success. That's why they're in the market for a quarterback, Nick. But it's your job to overcome that. And that's not what Shador, Kenny Pickett, anyone else has to try to do.
It seems like Albert is on team tough love for Shador.
That's exactly where he was on. In fact, I love that he was kind of going back and forth with us there a little bit, as if he wanted to like almost see where our brains were in understanding that maybe getting that relationship off to the right foot and off the right foot is the better chance and opportunity for it to succeed with those two.
Yeah, I mean, I just think this idea.
I say those two being Stefanski and Shador there.
Listen, maybe they've done this with other guys who come in with strikes against them, like Perrion, like Mike Hall. Maybe they do this for everybody that they put in a classification of doesn't quite get what we need from them yet, right?
Yeah.
I just don't, like, I think it's as simple as a convert. I think, to me, leadership is, hey, Shador, you did X, Y, and Z that had us basically make you undraftable until the fifth round. Here's how we do it in Cleveland. Let's get to it. This is a new leaf. I feel like if it's we got to show them tough love, or we got to have the veterans circle the wagons around Shador, like, I don't understand treating Shador Sanders like Dez Bryant or Josh. Like, you don't need a handler for Shador Sanders.
Right.
Even if his camp might tweet things you don't like.
But also, and listen, if Kevin Stefanski wants to come out and be like, we've always done it this way, which I have no record of him doing this, by the way, consistently over the time that he's been here. But if he wants to come out and say that, I would say cut him a little slack. Like, you just know this. You know it matters to Shador to have that number. You know he cares about having this number. It's not hard. Like, these are the easy ways to get on his good side. And then also, really, it goes both ways. Whether that's Shador, whether that's Stefanski, it just goes both ways.
So, again, we apparently don't just have Kenny Atkinson sound to bring you coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We also have maybe Rick Carlisle's response to Kenny Atkinson from yesterday.
Oh, you've known Carlisle.
So, oh, he's
I can't wait for this response.
Now, Kenny's a very respectful dude in public.
Yeah.
Like, he'll say very respectful things in
That's
public.
That's not Carlisle.
Rick Carlisle
That's
is
not him at all.
He's got that touch of bleep you that Greg Popovich had for so many
Let's
years.
Oh, this is going to get exciting.
I'm hoping okay.
We're not at the point, by the way. We had someone walk in with a Halliburton jersey on and nobody booed him out of the bar. We're not there yet, but I feel like we're approaching it.
Oh, I think that's what today's about. Like, we've said this about a few, like, I already don't like Obi Toppin. I didn't like him before the series.
Yeah.
You already don't like, oh gosh, who's the other goofball? Was it Nemhard who kept acting like he was Michael Jordan in his prime?
Yeah, he's the one.
Oh, no, Mathrin.
No, Nemhard was the one that did the three logo to the eye and you kissed the crowd. That was him.
Yeah.
Mathrin's just a punk.
Just cheap.
Mathrin's just a cheap shot punk. Yeah.
Today is the one where if the Cavs put the boots to the Pacers, I expect a lot of peacocking. I expect a lot of just fanning out your Hey, look at my coat. Aren't I sexy? Like a little bit of shaking the tail feather.
A single Halliburton fan in a Halliburton jersey came in by himself. We're too nice here in Cleveland.
Until after this game.
A little too nice,
If the
I would
Pacers
say.
Win this game, he'll be lucky to make it to his car. But until then, it's fine.
Okay.
Unless the Pacers win this one, pray for that young man.
And then Carlisle jumps out and
T's
saves
and
him.
T's and P's.
Yeah, T's and P's.
216-474-0092. RG3 says that Shador Sanders is set up to fail. He's a clown, but do you agree with him? And we will get to Kenny Atkinson's pregame thoughts and Rick Carlisle's rebuttal to Kenny Atkinson yesterday. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.